Welcome to Star Wars Lore with Idiots, a show where one might ask, so if the Force is a mystical energy field that surrounds us, can I channel it to power my blender and make smoothies? Your guess is as good as mine. Ranger, help.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, to another edition of Star Wars Lore with Idiots, where yours truly, Ranger J 1999, tries to talk shop and teach lore to a bunch of idiots that know, well, they pretend they're idiots. They do know some things, but pretty much they have brain damage confirmed and they just act a fool as I try to get into serious discussion about Star Wars lore, whether it's Legends or canon, it doesn't matter. Welcome. I'll introduce the panelist, aka the Dum Dums, here in a second. Just as a note, thank you for all your support on Patreon. If you haven't supported us on Patreon, please do. It's at /realityskewedgamers@patreon.com. The link for that will be in the description. $5 a month or more really supports what we're doing. We've been able to expand and get the lore video in podcast form for you guys, which you can find on Podbeam and Amazon, which you can check out as well. Helps us continue getting this content out there for you guys. And so just as an update, we were off for a week because a couple weeks we had some stuff going. There was Mother's Day. We're getting this one done before Memorial Day, but the Memorial Day weekend we'll have another lapse because there'll be Memorial Day weekend. People are going to be busy traveling, doing stuff like that. And then we'll start hitting it heavy in the summer to get you more of these up. And if you like the episodes, you can leave comments here on YouTube. There's a playlist created for it and also in other places. So feel free to do that. That being said, let's do the traditional things. Let's introduce the idiots. And see what they've got going on with their drinky poos. First of all, we'll go to my man, Karth, the Whaling Cannoneer. What are you partaking in today, there, buddy?
Massive amounts of agua.
Okay.
My last night was getting fresh with the copious amounts of alcohol.
That's okay.
So I have yard work to do after this. So I was
trust me. I know that feeling. Yeah. So no, don't do that. Also someone who we know by just the look of him doesn't do a lot of the yard work. It's Rambam.
Wait, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to go outside?
You know better than that, Ram. You and the sun made an agreement. And if you go out there too long, he will execute you.
If the sun leaves me alone, I'll leave the sun alone.
I think the sun has the power in this relationship there, Ram. Just throwing it out there.
But me, I'm trying to have that power in that relationship, you know. Yeah, it's not working out real well.
Drinking anything special today there, Ram, or is this the old, good old reliable?
No, good old Dr. P, because I got to run to the store here in a little bit. I got to be a mature, responsible adult.
Don't drink and drive. Don't do
weird.
Speaking of mature adults, we couldn't find one, so instead we got Wolf. the Robin Hood of Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, friend of the battalion and other places. Wolf, we have denied you said access to alcohol because you are a last minute addition, so we appreciate you coming on here, but you were not able to go get some more bourbon. So are you got anything you can sip on as we have to deal with Ram and other nonsense?
Well, first off, I just want to say the closest thing Ram's done to yard work is the lawn mowing sim. Moving gun.
Yeah. Couldn't even do that right.
No.
Don't worry. We got some shitty ass beer from the back of the fridge. It's still in date, so we still got something to drink.
Okay, good.
I actually do have some nice whiskey, too. It's some random leftover stuff. It's the end of the bottle, but some Japanese Centauri.
There you go. Beer, that's all you need. That's all you need. And you'll
some
need
good
it.
Good steppings. We're gonna need it. Don't you worry.
So we're gonna do a little something different today.
The video has now increased its stall time by 3 hours.
Not with me around. Wolf knows that better than anyone. Y'all may dick around over the battalion. I stay on point.
I stall my own streams. Yeah, I'm a guest. They set the pace, man. I got no control over nothing.
That's right. I know better. So what we're gonna do today is something a little bit different. Usually, the way this works is I just read a bunch of stuff and tell these guys a bunch of stuff about lore. But I want to change it up a little bit and have more of a conversation. So I'm going to give the topic and then we'll go around and see what people know about it. We'll get into some of the main points of the topic and characters and or, you know, stuff about it. They can ask me questions if they're not sure. So today's topic is going to be the Internal Empire. And by that, I mean the family, because we talk about the Eternal Empire. There are some things about the Eternal Empire, its history and stuff like that, the Eternal Fleet, things of that nature. But really, when it all comes down to it, if you played Star Wars The Old Republic, you know this is where these characters are from. We have, of course, Valkorion, a.k.a. Vitiate, a.k.a. Tenebrae, and we've already done a lore video on him. But I wanted to get into him, his dynamic with his family. We have Senya, we have Valorian, and we have, of course, the Eternal Twins, my nemesis of all time that's brought to my attention, Arkhan and Thexan. And then we have the Eternal Fleet, which is actually an interesting dynamic in the Star Wars universe. Well, now,
yeah,
all this is legends. None of this is canon stuff because it's in the Old Republic and none of it's been made. I know. It's really cool because...
it's so well thought out.
It really is.
It's
well
such
thought
a
out.
Shame.
It was definitely not canon, right? I remember somebody was saying, like, after canon. The most recent celebration that, like, oh, some of the things were canon. Like, that's SWTOR, KOTOR are definitely still not canon. It's all extended universe.
There are parts of it.
Very
that
tiny
are
parts. Canon. Like Darth Revan, okay. I think.
Darth Revan
Darth
is canon.
Revan's name.
Is canon. Yeah, his name is canon because it shows up in on Exegol.
There I remember are... somebody saying after this recent celebration something had changed. I wasn't sure.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Disney's kind of all over the road because they don't want to pay out people from previous IPs for adapting their content. So they try to like skirt around like, well, we're reintroducing them in a different fashion. So like that's kind of what people are, a lot of speculation coming with the new Thrawn and Ahsoka series is
well,
kind
they
of
have
a
been consulting Timothy Zahn. Mm-hmm.
They have, but there are things that won't exist, right? Because we've already written the story of what happens 40 sure. years later.
Yeah.
So some shit can't happen, right?
Right.
There's the whole Yusong Vong war, which we talked about last time. That really can't take place now because too much shit's gone sideways.
Yeah.
So they're gonna try.
They'll have to redo it. They'll have to redo the whole. Concept
yeah
of that.
So they it has to happen later with different characters, so it's not that they can't use the material, it just has to happen in a completely different environment.
Yeah, so
fuck you, Ray.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go around the corn. Let's go to our surprise guest, not surprise guest, but surprise because they're here. Wolf, what do you know about the Eternal Empire and the family dynamic that we're going to be speaking about today? Anything there, Wolfie?
Well, the family dynamic and everything is actually going to be a little bit new to me because I've played some of the SWTOR stuff, but I haven't gone through all of it in its entirety. So I know I recognize some of the I know some of the backstory, some of the interesting, but I'm not 100% familiar with all the lore of this. I've watched the cinematics and I watched that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's for sure. But I have not played through all of the. All of the different storylines within SWTOR. So I am excited to actually learn some Star Wars lore today.
All right.
Get that shit in here.
All right. Ram, what about you?
Well, so the Eternal Emperor, right? The Eternal Empire, we're talking about the time period where Palpatine came back and he was he returned.
That's
and
not
he
right.
Was, and he's the Sith here. Eternal, and he's part of the Empire, so it's the Eternal Empire. I mean, that's the time period, right?
This is why we're actually playing Star Wars The Old Republic again, and we're actually doing the light side campaign, and I'm playing as Exar Kun, and he's playing as Ulliquel Droma. I am looking for a new apprentice. Ram has failed me on numerous occasions and sucks as an apprentice.
Look, I can't help that. Awful. I just do more damage than you, and I win more
it's
rolls
about
than you. I can't
damage.
Help that.
You're just a piece of crap, man. You just leave us behind. We're like, where's Ram? We'll wait for something. Like, all right, let's help everybody out. The rest of us are like trying to help each other out and say, where do we need to go? Ram's gone. Like, Ram's
probably
gone.
Someone doing damage.
Just left us.
I've already gone ahead. I've already cleared everything, and that doesn't make any
Which
sense.
Doesn't make
when
any
I do
sense.
Clear
I know,
everything,
we have to.
Well, the reason why
again.
Is because like y'all are so far behind that when I do go ahead and I clear everything, they just respawn by the time y'all catch up, and so
He's
then you
stressed.
Have to clear everything,
so
and it makes it seem
apprentice.
Like I haven't done my job, even though I have done my job.
You've done shit. You're garbage, and I'm looking for a new apprentice, and I can't go with contingent because as much as I love that man, and I do, he's
dumber than a box of rocks too.
Yeah.
I think you guys need some more MMO experience.
Yeah, we spent an hour trying to figure out what mission he had and if it was the same mission as the rest of us. I was like, this is
and
not
me and him are the same class too.
I was like,
Just look at the top of your screen, find the little purple bar that tells you.
We went through all that. Yeah, we went through all that.
Read it to me. Share your screen. Just share it. It'll be faster.
Can't pick BCN because he's not a force user. He will be the general of my armies because he is competent. All right, Karth, pretty sure you know a lot about the Eternal Empire. What do you know about?
Oh, yeah, dude. I've played the expansion on SWTOR for that probably at least a dozen times now, so I'm fairly well ingrained into a lot of it. I kind of wish there was more history inside of the game of the twins, because they do a ton on Valen, a ton on Valen.
Well, their
story is incredibly tragic.
Yeah, well, they're all tragic.
They all are. Yeah, yeah. But the twins. I wish we just had more like in game time, because cinematics give you an idea of what happens and how things culminate to Arkhan taking control. But it, man alive, I would love to have a little bit more exposure to the, like, their actual upbringing and story and stuff than what we see in the cinematics.
They could always go back and tell those stories, but I mean, I don't think they ever will. So
I think you never want to say never, but it's
nothing that
you would have to do like a seeing portal where you like go back and relive a memory of like Arkhan or something.
Yeah, or Thexan, or you know, there's much, always stuff you can do work in the Force. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, but they could always write a book series about it because it would be really cool. Because the Eternal Empire is something that was created by, again, for all intents and purposes, we're going to call him Valkorion, but if you need to know, he's Vitiate, aka Tenebra. He's the immortal Sith Emperor,
that aka Palpatine.
Wrong, that's wrong. So the Eternal,
you said Sith Eternal Emperor. I mean,
And I meant it. He's Palpatine is not.
He's the Emperor of the Eternal Empire. Yes. It's different.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
So we talked. You notice I'm ignoring Ram. So we talked about how Valkorion came into being, that Vitiate could split off his essence, took over a warrior looking for something. But his first thing was he was looking for the Eternal Fleet. He had heard about this really powerful fleet.
Yeah.
From back in the day. So he found the Zakul and he took over this really strong warrior, which he could do, that was strong in the Force. And that's how Valkorion became the other part of Vitiate, or Vitiate became Valkorion, however you want to look at it. But we'll just say Valkorion. He rises to prominence. He makes this other empire. And with him creating the Knights of Zakul, they basically... there's the Scions and there's the Knights. The Knights are more like the Special Forces guys. The other people are more like the version of Sith sorcerers and stuff. But they find the fleet. He does find the fleet, finds it, and they capture. So that's one part of this. But Valkorion's plans, let's talk about him. It's Vitiate, and Vitiate has one goal and one goal only: to become a god. And the only way he can do that is because of his Sith magic, his Sith sorcery, with the ritual that would allow him to kill or have enough people killed that he could harness that power and become basically a god. That's his only purpose. He doesn't give a shit about ruling the galaxy in traditional means. That's his whole purpose. So he has all these pieces in motion. He got tired of the Sith Empire, so he used it as a pawn to first try to do it. It didn't work. As you know, in the game, he gets thwarted. So plan B, because he's always got plans for plans, we get to the Eternal Empire. Now, where the kids come into play is that one of the knights, one of his guards, Senya, awesome warrior, and his guard, and she's also his, she's got a title, something of justice, Hand of Justice or something like that. She's like his enforcer. They have a relationship. She bears three children. They're never married or anything, but she is the mother of Valorian, who is the youngest, the girl, and then Arkhan and
Valen.
Valen, I said Valorian. Valen, yep. Sorry, thank you. For this part, it's really interesting because Senya, they have a romantic relationship. It doesn't get into this. It just, we know, and it even says when I was looking at Wikipedia that Senya and Valkorion have a romantic relationship. Romantic relationship means there's romance and stuff, and I'm just like, really, Vitiate?
So they do explain this a little bit between the two of them, is that when Vitiate found Valkorion, before he took him as a host, there was when he was still predominantly part of the Sith Empire, he was splitting his essence, right. Air quotes here, right? So basically, essentially with Valkorion, what he did is he left a bookmark in that person.
That's what it felt like to me. Okay.
You're kind of plan B.
Yeah.
So there was this setup to where Valkorion was kind of living a normal life until the Emperor fully took control. And so there was a degree of where a lot of that stuff came from the part of the Emperor's essence. Because they talk about it. The Tenebrae chastises Valkorion for getting distracted by the pleasures of life, right? Yeah. By wanting to raise, like, have a family and raise children and live in a society that was, you know, everything was taken care of. You didn't have to worry about doing anything yourself. And so there is some part of the story that Tenebrae chastises Valkorion, okay, for that behavior. They do get into it a little bit, but yeah, it's kind of like the full-on switch to Valkorion where we pick up with him.
That's where Senya gets concerned.
Because you got to remember, there's almost 5 years between the end of the first game, the first level 1 to 50, and then when the Knights of the Eternal Empire starts.
Yeah.
So that's when the break happens to a degree. There are some things that he does that she tolerated that you'll learn about later, but for the most part, he didn't have... You know, Empire wasn't fully in control of Valkorion at all times, versus when he's defeated on Drummond Kos and escapes to Valkorion, then he becomes a full-on manifestation of the Sith Emperor.
Yeah, and you see this, so let's talk about Senya. Senya is actually a really awesome character. You actually get her as a companion in Star Wars The Old Republic, and she's badass. Her force powers are... strong enough. She's really good with the Force, but she's not known for her Force powers. She uses them in conjunction with making her a badass lightsaber. Yeah, if you've seen the cinematics or if you've seen her in the game, she can take on platoons of folks and just kick the shit out, yeah, of them, because she is so awesome at fighting, and that's what she does. Her main concern is that when the switch happens, and you see it in the cinematics for both Arkhan and Thexan, they're trained to be generals, warriors, things of that nature. Valen starts to go through that path, but then the big thing that both everybody notices, and including Valkorion, is that she cannot control her power, and she is super powerful in the Force. And it is very much dictated by her emotions. And they do a really good job showing that in the cinematic, where she loses control and she immediately just crushes things to death and kills things automatically. In fear of this, the Valkorion, you see it in the cinematic, imprisons her. And then does this whole thing. It looks like a dark side ritual. It kind of is, but it's more about torture and mind control, trying to get her to be loyal to him because he's worried about her. He sees her as a tool because she's extremely powerful, but he wants to... brainwash her into being completely loyal. Then you see Senya, her first attempt to save the kids is she goes after Valen. That doesn't work. You see it in the cinematic. Then she goes after Arkhan and Thexan. They reject her because they think she's weak, because they're buying into the soup that their father's, you know, teaching them, you know, of the internal Empire. I should also note that the Eternal Empire, the Eternal Throne, the Eternal Empire, that is a thing. The throne is actually a real thing. It's not just a symbol of power. It is, but it controls the Eternal Fleet, because the Eternal Fleet, what people forget and may not know, is that it's automated. The person who's sitting in the throne controls the Eternal Fleet, and the Eternal Fleet is linked together, and the firepower that thing can put out is ridiculous. That's why it kicks the shit when we'll get into what happens with Arkhan and Thexan. It's almost unbeatable. So that's the feeling of the dynamic. Now you see Arkhan and Thexan, as they get 5 years down the line, like Karth said, it was Thexan that wanted to probe, right? The not only the Sith but the Republic. He wanted to go on a military expedition to see where they were at. Valkorion goes along with it, but he didn't want Arkhan to go. Of course, Arkhan told him to basically go kick rocks, and he went anyway. But at this point, Valkorion is in full, you know, vitiate mode. And then you see everything that happens in the cinematic. They kick the shit on, I think it's Tython. They fight the Jedi and kick their ass there. And then on, actually, they go to the Sith homeworld and kick the shit out of the Sith there as well. So there's other battles. But in the battle, Arkin gets hurt. You see him. His face gets really damaged. He loses an arm, which Valkorion basically says to him, "Well, you shouldn't have been there. So tough titty," said the kitty. And that leads to his anger and rage. We don't get enough. One of the things I regret, I don't know how you guys feel, but I really, the dynamic, regardless of what's going on, Arkin and Thexan are loyal to each other. I mean, you see it and you read about it, that they've got each other's backs. Of the two, Thexan is more calm, he's always in control. Arkin is the more emotional.
Yeah, Thexan's very centered.
Yeah,
he thinks. I mean, light or dark, it doesn't matter where you want to get down that road. But Thexan is very centered. He thinks then acts, and Arkin is very much
Anakin
think. Yes, mm-hmm. And actually, it's kind of funny because if you go into it, the damage that Arkin receives is 100% fixable on Zakuul. 100%. That you find out later when you're escaping that they actually have, like, the citizens will go get scars, to show their friends, and then they can go get them, like, removed immediately, as part of their cultural thing. So 100% what happens to Thexan can be cured on his home planet, Arkin, and his father straight up tells him he can't do it. You are going to wear this as a permanent badge of dishonor because you disobeyed me, and now you're stuck with it.
Yep.
It's like, damn, it's cold.
Yeah, it's really cold. I mean, Valkorion is just ruthless with the kids, which makes them the way they are. Of the three, Thexan is the only one that's like, he sees through it. He's very loyal to his father, but he doesn't give a crap what his father is really up to, because he's got his, Thexan is just Thexan. He's just straight shooter down the line. And that's why you see... very loyal, but that's why you see when Arkin makes the attack on Valkorion, he pulls him in, and that's what leads to the tragedy of Arkin and his rage killing his brother, which would never have ever happened had not that moment transpired. Did Valkorion set it up that way? Possibly, we don't know, because we know Valkorion likes control, and to control Arkon was a lot easier than Thexan, because he knew the Thexan would do what he said, and would just get it done and just like, dum, 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 dum. Go conquer this planet. Go do it. But Arkon was a little bit more of a loose cannon. At the same time, so that all transpires in the game. Now, if you've played the game, kind of where the story goes. I'm not going to get the minutia stuff. Now, Arkon is an interesting character because he goes through two arcs. You play as the Outlander, and certain other characters get involved. They go after Vishyt because that's from the previous story. Gets captured. You eventually get free, but you find out you get brought between before Valkorion and Arkon. And in that moment, that's when Arkon makes his second attempt on his father's life. Valkorion intentionally lets himself get killed. And he does, because when Arkon starts attacking, he's just holding up his hand and blocking his lightsaber attacks. And allow himself to be killed, because his whole goal, again, I want to rule galaxy as a god, and he looks as the Outlander as his tool to do that. So Arkin becomes the new emperor, and then from this point on, the galaxy has been conquered by the Eternal Emperor. The Sith and the New Republic have both been conquered. They've capitulated. Lots of planets in both systems have what are known as star fortresses that are watching over them, that are from the Eternal Empire. And now Arkon is the one in charge. Then you go through the whole story. You eventually defeat Arkon. Of course, Senya wants to redeem him. At least the whole thing. You defeat Arkon. However, when you defeat Arkon, here comes Valen. And that's where we get to Valen, as she becomes the new Empress of the Eternal Empire. And then you go through this whole thing in the storyline where you have to defeat her. You actually kill Valen, and Valkorion actually captures her spirit and uses it later on. We've covered this in the Vishyt Valkorion episode of what happens in the later saga and stuff. But Senya works on redeeming Archon, and depending on how you do in the story, but eventually he does get redeemed. So out of the five, Valkorion, Thexan, and Valen all die. It's only Senya and Archon that are left after everything's said and done. And Archon does get redeemed.
And, because they have SWTOR has a narrative of what they expect to happen kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, because a lot of players got thrown off with the Outlanders storyline if they weren't playing a Force user. And so it's like, why would Valkorion sacrifice himself? Well, it's because he went to basically infest the Outlander with his presence to try to take over the body because he realized you were stronger, but it doesn't make sense, a ton of sense, if you're not a Force wielder. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Valen, the story basically is about you redeem Archon. Senya tries to help with that process and restore him back to the child she once knew. And then you go deal with Valen, and Valen's a very tragic can of worms.
Yeah, she like actually helps you defeat Archon, and then that's her treachery power play to now become the new Empress.
Yeah.
And then you go back in. They want to save her, but she's beyond saving at that point. I mean, the stuff they do to her, I mean, this innocent girl that just was strong in the Force, I mean, they tortured her emotionally, psychologically, physically. Well, Valkorion did, and his loyal subjects, to make her. I mean, if you look at Valen, she's just a weapon. I mean, her power is unbridled, but she can lose control, and that's her downfall. Is that even she's
so
just too messed up.
She's so emotionally unstable that like anything that riles her, her powers flow through like an uncontrolled conduit. I mean, she like her power levels like make like Starkiller look like a joke. Like she's insane for the conduit of the Force that she brings. But like what her father did to her is so dark and twisted. I mean, locks her away on this like just full dark side planet, has all kinds of testing done on her, has all kinds of brainwashing, torture. And for it was twofold. One, to he wanted to strengthen her Force response to emotions because he wanted her to have more powerful abilities. But he also wanted to condition her to have a leash. He wanted to have something against her so that if she ever turned, he could oppress her long enough to either A, kill her, or B, subdue her. Mm. And because his whole plan with his children was to eventually absorb their Force powers. That was his eventual plan with all of them, which is why he kind of went through the whole thing of having a family. The Valen story is so sad. Like, you almost feel bad at the end for killing her.
You really do, because she's, you know, it's one of those things where these are the bad guys in this story, but they're very layered. You know, you understand why they are the way they are because you see their upbringing and you learn about their story, especially through Senya. She talks, I think you go through the story and you learn different things about them and you see why they are the way they are. They're messed up because their father was just a piece of crap. Of course, you know, his father was Vitiate. Nobody knew that at the time. You know,
there was a lot of Kool-Aid in the water.
Yeah, but I mean, when you give psychopaths and sociopaths and damaged people control of the power that they did, I mean, they were ruthless in that time period. The Eternal Empire was ruthless. I mean, they were genociding. They were doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was bad.
Well, Thexan, when he was leading the army, was the epitome of if you resisted, they would always give you the chance to surrender. But if you resisted, it was just untold levels of destruction. Yeah. We will make an example of your resistance.
Yes.
Wasn't that the Zakul army or whatever it was?
Yeah.
That was the Eternal Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's two parts.
There's the land forces, which are, you know, you see the knights with the helmets and stuff, and and then you see the eternal fleet, which is, it's a really fascinating fleet because it's eventually what happens too is what's her name, the robot. I don't have any
Scorpio.
Scorpio. You learn that there's a bunch of them on these ships and stuff, these sentinels and stuff that are on there the fleet's automated. And that's why the person on the throne with a single thought can give directions on what they want to do. And they're sentient enough that they can carry out those orders.
The throne
you have to be on the throne to control it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, the throne is basically...
If you're not sitting on the throne, it's useless.
Yeah, to a degree, but the
powerful enough, too, because the throne... really weird. It's
like a battle meditation kind of thing.
Kind of.
It seems like a battle meditation kind of thing. Like the
it sort of is in a sense, but you've got to be strong enough in the force.
And that's what it was. You had to be strong enough in the force to be able to command the whole fleet and be able to see where everything were going and with that that sort of line or not.
It fights, but like the Eternal Throne is like it's almost like a living thing. It hurts. It's painful. I think if I remember correctly.
That's the one on Iocath, but that's a different interface.
Since I've played it.
Yeah, Iocath is a completely different can of worms. Iocath is the original hub of where that fleet came from, and that one was much more like you had to be able to survive the experience to even have control, and they didn't understand what they're doing. The throne in the Eternal Empire was actually basically a giant communications hub that was able to communicate across the entire galaxy through a combination of Iocath technology and the Force. So you had to be strong enough to be able to even have that thing, It was more like sitting at a computer screen but being able to mentally look everywhere at once and dictate where you wanted to put your forces in basically in real time. Because the fleet, they had the fleet set up on patrol. I mean, it acted like a normal fleet, but you could then summon the entire fleet.
And it would link.
And then the ships would link together and work together as well to deal with targets, because they weren't like massive ships.
But they had incredible firepower, though.
Yeah, because you could link a wall of them together and just bear down on a target and destroy it, versus how the fleet combat was done previously.
Where the fleets would go in and then they were trying to communicate and you had your fighters and stuff. And yeah, that's what gave them the advantage. Their ground forces were really powerful, and they're, when you've got a fleet like that. Yeah, but that works against them, too, because eventually... Scorpio starts working with Valen, and that's an interesting dynamic. And then
Scorpio turns on you.
Yeah.
Scorpio is Scorpio. Well, you know that you kind of know that if you play the Sith, not the Sith, the Imperial Agent storyline. She basically tells you, as long as the relationship is she's growing and learning stuff, she'll work with you. But if that changes, she'll leave. And she kind of says that out the rip. And now. She gets the opportunity to learn from where she came from and then just like deuces on you. You're like, bye.
Well, the other sentient AIs and stuff that are on the fleet, they rebel too. So
they don't rebel, actually.
I thought they rebel because there was a conflict happens with that.
Scorpio gives them the ability to choose.
Yeah.
So the Gemini that are a part of her, of the Eternal Fleet, are all slaved together. So they all require input to function to a degree, right?
Oh, that's right.
She allows them to not have the input.
And she just basically takes it away. They are allowed to think for themselves. So the Eternal Fleet basically disbands at that point, because only like a third of the fleet stays in service to Zakuul, and the rest of them decide to go bum F anywhere and do what they want to do. So there's so much nuance to what happens in this story. There's a lot of crazy things that go, because basically part of why she did that is she was trying to figure out where they came from. They're a unique droid species, because they're a droid species that was designed to adapt, evolve, improve, their own AIs, which was very uncommon for everything that she encountered, because droids were always in a limited capacity in the rest of the galaxy. So she was like, well, if we let them all loose, maybe we'll find where we came from. And then they end up doing that. But that's its own crazy can of worms, too.
There's a lot of sub stories in this with lots of character. And mm-hmm. then it leads to other things. But it's
well, what point do we get the Palpatine returned?
About 4,000 years later, yeah.
It's the same storyline, though. We're good, though.
Same storyline.
Yeah, different. Yeah.
You just said it. You just said it. It's 4,000 years later.
I mean, technically, well, the smallest strand of silken skin here, Ram is correct, because Palpatine does, at the end of Episode 9, claim that he is all the Sith, which technically means Tenebrae and Velkorian and Vitiate. So technically, on the smallest guys.
Technically, somehow Palpatine returned.
If I know anything about some of those Sith, which we've covered, they're probably telling Palpatine, "You're full of shit and get rocks." Now, Naga Sadah would be like, "Yeah, you know."
But you got to understand, Wolfie. At the same time, Vishy would have to be canon for that to be a thing. So,
yeah, he's not
once
canon.
Again, technically, it's also not true.
Yeah. He doesn't exist.
Has anybody gone back to Exegol and like deciphered all the writings that were on the wall and whatnot? Like, I know that's how they found Revan, but like,
do we know
what's to say that Vishius, Tenebrae, and all them aren't on the wall?
I mean, who's to say Exegol survived after Palpatine blew himself up in the lightning storm?
It did survive though.
Whatever. I mean, things are things.
It's one of those wonky things because you've got a lot of Sith that are just not canon, and it's not just Vishy, but it's Exar Kun. It's, you know, all those guys.
God, so many people, and it's all legends.
And some of them are canon, but like their stories aren't canon. Like Darth Bane, his existence is canon, and
but his actual story
is canon. But his whole story is just like. Yeah, I mean, he existed, but none of that is actually, you know, very specific canon.
Well, yeah, it's his apprentice, Zana, who carries on the tradition.
Yeah.
It's not canon. He's just Darth Bane, who creates a rule of two, but they never mention her, so she's still not canon. It's one of those strange circumstances that we're in with Star Wars, which, and Filoni, I trust, because he has been slowly over the years creeping that stuff in here and there. You know, when I saw Tula Kord's armor in Cassian, I was like giddy. I was like, oh my sweet Jesus. You know, he does those small little things.
Tulak Hor, or was that Starkiller's assassin?
Both. They're both.
It's both. They're, a combination
yeah,
of both.
There's a lot of there in Luthen's shop, there is a ton of Easter eggs.
God, there's so much stuff.
So many Easter eggs. Like even like well, things you see for a split second. You're like, that is a relic from this Sith Lord. You're like, oh shit, this is so much stuff. How do you have all this crap?
Filoni probably has all that in his house, and he's just like,
right
here.
Yeah, I've collected these over the years.
He just takes the film.
Oh yeah, George
gave
this to me, and I from Skywalker Ranch 20 years ago. Here you go, and just put it right here.
So getting back to the Ram, and well, let's go to you, Wolf. I mean, does some of this sound familiar?
A good amount of his is sounding familiar with all the. I'm linking in here and there. Don't worry. I haven't seen all. I haven't done all of the storylines. Haven't gone through all of everything. Definitely, a lot of it is sounding familiar.
Yeah, I would say out of all of them, my favorite character is Senya. I just think she's a badass. She's so cool. I've always
she's
liked
the
Senya.
Warrior, right?
Yeah, she's the mom. She's the mother, and she's the one that you see in the Valen cinematic where you see all those guys with those yellow lightsabers. She's like, wait here, and just kills motherfuckers left and right.
She's incredibly strong in the Force, which shouldn't be overlooked, but her martial prowess is so just bonkers. And part of that, too, is because of the Knights of the Cools, how they tie to the Force. They tie to the Force through devotion to their cause.
Yes.
Whatever their cause is. It's not like devotion to light or the dark side of the Force. It's devotion to a cause. And so...
That's why a lot of their lightsabers are blue and yellow and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of them are yellow.
So they're a very unique interaction, you know, that kind of like they take some inspiration from like the Knights, the Emperor kind of stuff, where people would consider them gray Jedi because they're not, you know, Jedi, but they're not Sith. They're kind of somewhere in the middle. They're a Force user, but that's kind of what Valkorion wanted. He didn't want more Jedi and Sith you know, light side, dark side. He wanted people that are devoted to the sole fact of their nation, basically just patriotism to a degree. And that was their, their whole thing was justice, right? Was upholding the law kind of thing. That was their devotion. And they made some incredibly powerful warriors out of it. Yeah. Their law.
They were fair.
It's
totally
weird. It's only totally weird to us.
The Sokol society. I mean, it was thriving. I mean, it really was. I mean, you can say one thing about Vishyut. When he first built the Sith Empire, he was dealing with the Sith, and he was dealing with what that was, and he created the Empire based off that because that's what he had to deal with. And that's all he knew at the time, but as he, you know, the hundreds of years go by, he starts looking for, he gets really tired of the Sith philosophy. He doesn't agree with it.
The constant backstabbing and the power struggles. Backstabbing
struggles, and he's like, I'm going to go over here and create this. One, to create something different because I have a different idea in the Force. He's still evil as hell, but I mean, he does want to create something different that's not tied completely to the dark side. Then again, he doesn't want anything with the light side too, because they view the Jedi as just, you know, the total extreme on the other side. So he creates, and you can kind of look at similarities, I would say, between the ancient Jedi and the Knights of Zakul and how they function, very much in the middle. You know, they mm-hmm. do what they do, not for the codes of the Jedi or the Sith. They have their own kind of code of honor and things the way they operate, but it's for, you know, the greater good as they view it. Now, if you weren't Zakul, you know.
Well, even in fairness, though, Zakul did not start the war between the Sith and the Republic.
No, that was Vitiate, and they were just there.
Vitiate did antagonize the war, which kind of he's been antagonizing that for hundreds of years. He was trying to get the Sith to, well, he tried to get people to engage in the war against Zakul to justify Zakul going to war, because that's what happened. Is basically they started, the Sith started exploring their territories, and instead of, you know, doing anything, you know, close to negotiations, they just opened fire and then got their ever-loving asses handed to them. But it's interesting how he let the whole war kind of play out in a direction where the Zakulans weren't really at fault for what happened there. No. They just happened to be a part of this far superior race.
They were just part of the mechanism.
Empire, man.
Yeah, they were just part of the mechanism. But yeah, the Zakul society was very advanced. I mean, the civilization, it would have been interesting to see what they do with that, because it's still around at this time, but we don't get the ending of where the Zakul Empire finishes off, because it's a major player. Yeah, once the internal empire goes away, but you still got billions of people that are loyal to Zakul. Like, you know, we don't really learn, you know, later on because they haven't got to that point in like hundreds of years later where what happened to Zakul. So we're only stuck with where they're at this timeline in the game.
Yeah.
So it's something they're gonna have to figure out if they do bring them in. Let's go around and get some thoughts here. I mean, Ram, you've been kind of listening to me and Karth say a lot of stuff. Anything you want to interject here, or thoughts, questions, anything like that?
No, I mean, you know, I've been interjecting jokes about the Sith Eternal Emperor all day.
That's because you're a moron.
Well, you know, point being, the Sith Eternal Empire and the Eternal Empire and all that stuff, everything from KOTOR and SWTOR we've been playing for the last few months, and I've been playing for years before that. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of cool stuff. It's unfortunate that none of it is canon, or almost none of it is canon.
It's unfortunate.
It's because it's just so much stuff, and
well, really fantastic it's characters. Like, I mean, that's the thing about these games and these stories, is that the characters are so well fleshed out. And you can pick anybody from that Old Republic timeline. You can go from Exar Kun, Anula Quel Droma, the Sith side, you know, to Revan and Vitiate. You can go to the Sith Triumvirate in that storyline. You've got the Eternal Throne.
So much care.
Yeah, a lot of detail in the nuts.
And then we get Rey.
Well,
Ram. We're having a good conversation. We had
the advantage with the Old Republic era, though, is that it's so easy to put time and space between iconic characters in that lore. Yep. And so it's not challenging to have things shift and change or explain them in a way in which things will come back and make sense. And so I think that's always been the problem. Returned. Yeah. I think that's the problem with the George Lucas Skywalker trilogies and stuff like that, is that more or less you're just such a condensed time frame. You know, the whole trilogy takes place over what, 70 years?
Seven. Oh, the entire trilogy?
The entire, yeah, from episode one to episode 9.
The entire trilogy?
Yeah,
32 BBY to, well, where we are in the current timeline with the sequel. But 50, 60 years?
Yeah, it's about 60 years, I think.
Yeah, something along
those lines. Yeah, so it's just, there's just not enough room for a lot of stuff to happen that doesn't that you don't have to do what Filoni's done, which is basically, well, this character disappears.
Well, I
this
like,
character disappears.
Well, I'm excited that some of the projects coming up, but outside of Ahsoka, but that's just because I love Ahsoka and I'm just ready for live action Phoenix Crew. But
Acolyte, the High Republic.
Yeah, both those are really fascinating.
Well, that stuff's gonna be awesome.
Acolyte from the Sith side at that time, and it's a bad guy show. And then we got the High Republic, and then the movies where they mentioned the origins of the
Origins of the Jedi.
And I'm really hoping that they go into the Jedi and get
the what was it, the First Jedi or something like that? Is what it's called?
The First Jedi. Yeah. Well, and it's the working title, yeah.
See where it leads. Right, yeah. But I mean, I'm really hoping that they bring in stuff like.
Well, if they go from the First Jedi, like, I mean, Leia, like you said, they're going to have to at least explain, like, the Jedi. If they keep the current, you know, non-canon stuff and they're like, hey, we're just going to translate this into canon, then yeah, you would have to mention that it was a crossover from the Sith and the Jedi.
So we're doing the Jedi, you know, like we did. Ashton Bogan sort of, and everything in there.
Opposite what our hopeful is. I mean, you know, but
if they go that route, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they go that route, that would be awesome. I think I said Tython was a planet that that they attacked. It wasn't Tython. It was something else. I can't remember what it was that the Eternal Empire that just registered. I'm like, no, Tython is the home world where all
this started. Tython was the original planet.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, I made a boo-boo on that one. Don't beat me up in the comments. I'm just doing this.
Yeah. I don't think they attack Korriban, or when they do this in the cinematic, they're not attacking Korriban and they're not attacking Tython, but they are attacking. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at which planets actually said they attacked in that one, but they did.
Yeah, it was I know one of the.
Are you talking about? You're talking about the Sith Eternal or the Eternal Empire?
Eternal Empire.
The Eternal Empire.
When they Arkan and Thexan attack, I don't remember.
It was Korriban. One of them was Korriban.
One of them was Korriban.
Because you saw the statues fall in the desert. Like that's
it was Korriban or Morriban, whatever you want to call it.
It could be somewhere else, but it's highly likely that's Korriban.
I'm gonna have to. Look
yeah, because well, yeah, I keep trying to well. It depends. Yeah, I'd have to go back and check it again because it's like for me, I get it's a hard time to be like, yeah, they would totally just attack the Sith homeworld, and that would go well for everybody. Well, not the Sith homeworld. It's not really their homeworld. Drummond Kos is their like sanctuary, but still. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things where I kind of hope that they. I really want Star Wars that we have now to kind of get away from the Skywalker stuff and let's go just.
It was Korriban. Get the other planet
I really want them to go just like get away from stuff, take a stab at a timeline 1,000 years ago and tell a story, right? Like I'm just kind of done with the whole like let's continue the story of the characters that we don't care about. Like even with 7, 8, and 9, I would have been completely content if they had just gone another 20-30 years down the road and got rid of Luke and Han and Leia and everything, and then kind of just took the ball from there. I think that would have transitioned a lot better than trying to bring all these iconic characters back and be like, oh, we're totally going to just shit all over what you thought happened because we need narrative. All right, ready, go. It's like, why? Anyways, I'm
okay with what they're doing, linking stuff together, you know, all the shows and having the Mando link into over here and, you know, link into the Rogue. I do enjoy that, you know, that sort of stuff is very nice. You know, them doing that whole world building and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the Mandoverse.
The Mandoverse, that's been very good to see.
Yeah.
It's also, like you said, they're sort of stuck within this this timeline. And if they go 1,000 years in the past, you know, Yoda may still be a thing, but for the most part, it's going to be a blank slate.
We could literally have Baby Yoda. Yeah, I know, yeah. But I mean, like it would just be more fun, I think. I understand why they're doing the Mandoverse. They're trying to kind of do like an MCU kind of thing where we have all these characters. This is how they tie together. This is launching points for other shows, and that's great. That's fine. But you're working in a limited timeline, right? Like the only way that they can really push anything interesting with Thrawn and build out otherwise is if we go hang out in unknown spaces, right? That's the only place we can really do that, because you're going to have a definite sequence of events that are going to start coming up in the next few, decades that are going to set the stage for episode 7.
I was right. It was Tython.
Was Tython?
It was Tython and Corban.
Tython and Corban were two of the many worlds that they went after. Oh, I'll be damned.
Or there's an easy way as to why they don't have to, you know, like you're saying that they can only do a certain thing with Thrawn, for instance. There's an easy way around that. And they've already kind of, I feel like they already introduced it in the trailer. That world between worlds. Right.
Well, possibly, yeah.
They can go anywhere they want if done correctly. They can go anywhere they want.
They really need to limit the use of that for anything, because what we do not need in Star Wars is the multiverse.
No.
I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
What they're working towards.
Well, it's not the multiverse. It's just like time travel, right? It's not like you're seeing different alternate realities of yourself. You're just seeing.
But you kind of are.
The past or the future.
But exactly. But you can alter it. That's a thing. So you can change how things occur.
That's fair.
And then you could have.
But you can alter it to an extent, like
all right,
like
when they pull. Topic. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Anyway,
so off topic now.
So final thoughts.
Eternal Empire, great, awesome. Bring it to canon.
Any final
thoughts? Yes, please.
Questions. We'll go around the corn here. So Grandi just likes to say, Wolfie, any final thoughts, questions you have about this?
Man, final thoughts, questions, everything about this.
It's a lot. We didn't get into the minutiae of details and characters and stuff, but that's just the general outline of the family dynamic, the internal empire, stuff like that. So you get a taste of what it's like.
Yeah, main thoughts is I need to go play more SWTOR and get these storylines completed. The dynamic in there and just the fact that like even the kids weren't even, you know, meant to actually be, like, they were only meant to be absorbed, and they were literally just tools for him to go and conquer the galaxy and move on and do all that stuff. And that's, like you said, the character building, the world building, the everything that goes on in the SWTOR universe is absolutely amazing. And if they can find some way to bring more of these things into canon, I'm all for it.
I am too. Yeah. Ram?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd love to see it be more canon. It's a great, great era. Are we going to be playing Eternal Empire, by the way?
Yeah.
At the Eternal Throne and all that stuff once we finish the light side and dark side?
Yeah, we'll pick which side we want to go with, and then we'll go rock and roll in there.
Well, the Eternal Throne story is very hard to play in SWTOR because so much of it is single player.
Yeah.
Because so much of the entire 1 to 9 chapters are all based on you. You make your decisions. Everything's a single player story. You're doing the entire thing. So there's very little open world parts of it. Then 10 through 16 is a little bit more flexible, but they really want to drive home the point that it's your character making decisions and only your character. And nobody else gets influence. And then when you start the next one, which is the Eternal Throne, Knights of the Eternal Empire is the first one, then it's Eternal Throne is the second one. And that one's the one where you deal with Valen. That one's a little bit more open-ended. But again, it's a lot of single-player content through that stuff. And then once you get to the chapters that came in after Valen's story, then it's a lot more back to the open world kind of, we're going to go do some stuff. But yeah, that's why we talked initially about just playing the 1 to 50 in SWTOR, was because they would be very boring to watch one person just play the game when you have a group of people all doing the same thing. But yeah.
Well, we will do it together, but the viewpoint will be from the person that's playing it.
Yeah, because yeah, you guys
at the same time
play
you're
together.
Doing it, we're all doing it at the same time, but you're just showing your viewpoint and your decisions based off that.
Yeah.
But we can run the missions together. We just have to... the cutscene, you just have to when you go to the zone where you go do your turn in.
Yeah, a lot of the entire things are instances, and they're solo instances.
Some of them are very much just you're on your own. So
everyone open up 5 tabs and you could
everyone just start streaming their own thing, and then everyone just watch everyone stream.
You're
gonna have tons of bandwidth.
Makes total sense. It's like the throne, you know, you have all the screens, you just need to be able to use them.
Yeah, there you go.
Pick which one you want to watch the most. All right.
See, we linked it back to the topic, the Eternal Throne, and everything. See, it's right there.
There you go.
Good. We did it.
There you go.
Yes.
Guys.
Good job. Mission accomplished.
All right. Any final thoughts there, Karth, on any of this stuff? I know you and I are big fans of this.
You know, I. overall, I think if people who haven't had a chance to brush up on the Eternal Empire and the main cast of the people at the top, it's an opportunity they should take, because it is an incredible, they are some of the best written villains I think Star Wars has ever come out with, because you start out with just hating them because they're conquering whatever faction you were playing before, right? Either Sith or Republic. But the more you dive into it, the more you understand the characters, the tragedy, the manipulation and the abuse of the relationship that the characters have with their parents and with each other and everything else, it just really unfolds this really kind of like heartbreaking story of, like, you know, one person just pulling the strings can really do some evil things. And I think that's what they kind of did a really good job of doing, is, yeah, you're dealing with Arkin for the majority of the first chapters, but you really learn how shitty Valkorion was. You know, Valkorion did some awful things to his kids for the sake of, you know, creating, you know, monsters, power dynamics or you know, mistrust or dependency upon him. And he just did so many bad things that just, like, as you unravel these characters, you start to realize that there's more than meets the eye here. There's a lot of good narrative behind it. And it gives you a really good interaction. I think that's the only thing that's sad is that you don't get much interaction with Thexen, because he's, you know, killed before the story starts. But you do get some later in the much later stuff. Thexen comes back as a Force ghost and talks with Arkin and Valen, and kind of actually acts as the voice of reason to, yeah, Dad was absolutely a dick. And if Arkin hadn't killed me, we probably would have rushed up and killed him. So there's fun dynamics to the whole thing where you get to experience it, but they're a very interesting, group. And definitely worth, you know, further investigation and breaking down a lot of their history and their backstory.
Yeah, if you can't play Star Wars The Old Republic, just watch a playthrough on YouTube. They've got them. Eventually, we will do that for you guys. And you'll see how just awesome Senya is. She's so cool. And there's a lot of great one-on-one moments and dynamics you have with Senya. And they do a really good job. The actress that plays her does a fantastic job, which is pretty much The Old Republic. One of the things I do really enjoy about the Old Republic is that they take the voice work and those character moments really seriously. And you can tell with the way the dynamics of the way they operate with you interacting with them. So it's really awesome. Let us know in the comments what you think, whether you see it on YouTube or Podbeam or Amazon. Again, this will be uploaded every Monday for our Patreons. They get it early before anybody else.
Except next week.
Yeah, this week coming up. So Monday, tomorrow, it'll be uploaded, recording this on the 21st. So this will go out on the 22nd or the 23rd, depending on how fast I can get it uploaded and stuff. Because sometimes, you know, stuff happens. but then Friday to everybody else. So you'll get a taste of what we're talking about. And then, let us know what you guys think if you played it. What do you think of the family dynamics? Again, general stuff. We don't usually get into the minutiae details here. Eventually, well, we may just do a whole thing on Arkin and Thexen. Maybe we'll just do one on Valen. Maybe we'll just do one on Senya and their entire story. But it's pretty much they're all tied in together. So what we kind of covered is the main points that you need to know about these characters. There's more stuff in the minutiae, as I said, but go, if you want to learn more about that, then go read or watch or do something. So with that, we're going to call this one done. So on behalf of myself and the idiots, thank you guys for joining us today. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you in a couple weeks for the next episode. Peace out.